Hello, friends. How you guys doing today? New to the podcast? Welcome. Welcome to our little community. Let me just welcome you with a big old juicy kiss. What's happening, people? So, this podcast, just a little bonus episode for the week. I don't feel like I did the documentary on Netflix a justice on our last podcast. I feel like I owe it to you to get more into this, and there's going to be a lot of spoilers ahead, okay? So if you haven't seen or you plan on seeing Abducted in Plain Sight, the documentary on Netflix, I recommend you watch it before you listen to this. If you don't think you're going to listen to it, who gives a shit anyway? Just listen and enjoy. What's up, everybody? What the hell? Dude, this is like, we're almost at 150 episodes. Can you believe that shit? I really cannot believe that. Almost 150 episodes. You guys have been listening to me bitch and complain about things that don't really matter for 150 episodes. And honestly, if you guys weren't listening, I wouldn't be doing this. I enjoy it so much, and now it's, I guess, like, not to sound corny, but it's a part of me, like an extension of me, even though it does get me in like some hot water sometimes when I say shit and people get backlash, but at the end of the day, we're just joking, you know? That's all. We're just joking. Having some fun. What's not a joke, though, is that if it really did happen, it would be incredible, but I wish I could have a cult, man. I want to be a cult leader. Now, you might be thinking, that is not normal, but, sorry, I got a stuffy nose, too. Yeah, weather in Ohio, you know? Dude, it went from being bitterly bone-chilling cold. It's like 60 degrees now. Expected to drop back to like 20 within the next 2 days. What? It's just too much. It's simply too much. Hey, also, I got some backlash from people for the Instagram post that I made for the podcast to promote it, just to try something different. It's all fun. So I posted, I actually, to like preface this, I texted a few of like my closest people and said, hey, I got an idea to promote the podcast. I might like imitate a Kardashian's post or like some female in the spotlight's post on Instagram. And the two people that I cared about their opinions the most both said, okay, let's do it. One of them, Jenna, obviously, didn't really expect me to do it. And the picture I picked, I mean, you can go to my Instagram. It's just John Thozeski, JonThozeski. Shows some butt. So I obviously I had to imitate it to my best abilities, and I think it went over with great responses, and everybody that commented on it, thank you, because that was the reaction I was looking for out of people. Just silly. But a few people didn't really appreciate it, okay? I got angry texts, thinking, you know, what are you doing? hey, it's all for fun. Dude, when people, this is one of the things about the cult that I think is so intriguing, and I think you'll find it too. When people hate on us doing what we want to do, we're hitting them with this. Oh, you got an opinion? Keep it to yourself. That's what we're all about in the cult. Okay? You guys want to come and hate on us for doing what we want? Pipe down. How about that? It's how we do. It's how we do. You think we care? We don't give a fuck. 2019, we're not giving fucks. We ran out of them in 2018. Sorry. Sorry, you know? It's how we do. We don't care. Hey, when people start saying things like, oh, bad idea posting that. Why'd you say that? Oh, you shouldn't have said this in your podcast. You know what I say? Keep your opinions to yourself, 2019. Now, I know I just contradicted everything that I stand for, because this whole podcast is based around me giving my opinions on things. Now, I realize that. I'm sorry, but I'm not. Sometimes things don't make sense and they're just jokes, so you'll just have to deal with that. A lot of people, not a lot, just one person tells me all the time that I think that I'm funnier than I am. I disagree. I mean, I don't disagree, but when I like say things, people take them as like malicious, but it's not at all. When I say things, I'm 100% joking, and like I think it's hilarious, so I want to say that because I think other people would think it's funny. Plot twist, it almost never goes the way I want, but I'm not going to stop trying. That's the American dream. You keep trying until you succeed, you know? Sheesh. Where do we start this podcast? I guess we started. I saw a couple people actually before we get into this documentary on Twitter talking about like Aaron Pico being, I guess, overhyped from Bellator, who got he got knocked out, and I disagree that he was overrated. I think he's good, but it shows that he's young. It was like, I'm pretty sure it was Bellator, and I said beforehand he's the next up and comer, and he got knocked out. But that's kind of what makes MMA such a beautiful sport, right? You have two guys that are amazing at jiu-jitsu or wrestling or taekwondo, whatever it is. But if they get into the middle and just start trading punches, anything can happen. That's what makes the sport so amazing, is that these guys can go practice everything, and when they decide to get off their track, anything can fucking happen. But I think Pico's had like six or seven pro fights, I'm pretty sure. Not much more than that. The dude, he could still figure this out. And that's, I mean, that's what I hope, is that he figures it out. Everybody's hoping or saying, really, that he's a flop, whatever. But think of how good of a story that could be for this kid. He got beat by submission in one of his earlier fights, and he got knocked out. But the talent is there. His trainer, I forget what his name is, boxing coach, said if Pico wanted to do boxing, he could be world champ right now. But he's in love with the MMA. What else did I want to talk about? There was something else. The Super Bowl. So now that, okay, so I've had some time to sit on the Super Bowl. I had like a Super Bowl hangover on Monday and Tuesday. Just like bummed out about it. I was thinking about the Maroon 5, the halftime performance. Look, I love Maroon 5. I think they did great. I also think Adam Levine might like a little dick from the way he was dancing. I might be wrong. But the way that guy was moving was not the way that a straight guy moves. I fancy myself a pretty good dancer. I don't move like that. Also, the Super Bowl fucking, dude, they honey-dicked us. They promised us Travis Scott, who clearly can't perform live, might I add. But he performed like one verse of a song. And the Super Bowl itself was such a fucking boring game. I think the ratings were down because people started tuning out. Which, I mean, is not a big shocker. And, the other thing I was thinking was, how can Edelman win MVP when he missed four games for PEDs? The way that guy looks, those aren't picograms in his system. He's taking testosterone. I think why I was upset about having a Super Bowl hangover was because this season had a lot of exciting games. And on top of that, it's fun to be a Browns fan again. Remember, I always said I wasn't going to root for the Browns until they were good, because I had nothing to root for, really. My whole point with that was that I was 24 years old and I didn't understand why I liked this team that I never saw win anything. But I always wanted the Browns to win, obviously. But I was Panthers fan first, Browns fan second. I'm officially putting the Cleveland Browns at the number one position. And who knows if after next year it's going to come out and Panthers are going to be back in. But let's hope that the Browns can finally start being a football team. Also, the fucking Baker Mayfield and Kevin Hart skit, I think it's called Cold as Balls, and they go into an ice tub or ice bath, whatever. It's I'd say it's worth checking it out. Now, the moment you've all been waiting for. So, okay, we talked about this Abducted in Plain Sight documentary about how it was not good. Spoiler alerts coming up. Before I actually talk about the documentary thing, does anybody else feel like, or I always judge other people that don't watch documentaries because I watch one and I instantly think that I'm smart for some reason, or like I came up with the shit that I didn't even learn anything. I'm just remembering the stuff that they said. And then I'll go spit it out like I'm a fucking expert. Anybody else judge people that don't watch them? I just feel smarter when I do. Now, I'm going to spoil the shit out of this movie for you guys. I forget where it took place. It doesn't matter. It's probably a state that is like irrelevant when you look at the United States as a whole. Anyway, there's a family, you know, a normal family of five, two parents, three kids. It's two or three kids, but they are living in this real small town, and this other family moves in, and they also have the same, it's got to be three and three kids, so, and they're all, like, the same age, so they're all best friends. So the dad's best friends with the other dad, the mom's best friends with the other mom, and then the kids at each age are best friends with each other. The dad of the other family that just moved in, I forget what his name really is, but they call him B. And he takes a liking to one of the other family's daughters named Jan. So this little girl, she's like 7 years old, and he's taking these real fucking weird pictures of her and giving her more attention than any of the other kids, even like his own kids. And these other two parents, they let him take Jan on like their family vacations and shit. So already I'm thinking red flag. Now she gets older, maybe she's 11 or 12, and he's like, I want to take Jan horseback riding. The mom's like, I don't know about that. I don't know. She's got piano and dinner, and he's like, I'll have her back before dinner. I'll make sure she goes to her piano, everything. And he's like, come on, you know, come on, just let me do it. I'll have her back and whatever. She doesn't want him to go, but she lets this man take her daughter horseback riding. He doesn't come back, okay? Let me also say real quick, these two parents are the dumbest parents ever created. They should not have had kids. And I don't care if they hear me talking shit about them, because they are the worst parents in America. They should have done jail time after you hear this story. Whatever. And he's like in the car with Jan, and he says, oh, yeah, you have allergies, so take this allergy pill so the horses don't bug you. Well, good old B took a page out of Bill Cosby's book and roofied the shit out of this little girl. So they obviously don't come back. The parents didn't call the cops for a week. 6 days. They didn't call the cops for 6 days. She said they called the FBI on like Saturday or Sunday. She got took on like Wednesday. They called her on like Saturday or Sunday, and the FBI wasn't fucking open. So they said, call back during the week. Yeah, call back during the week. We're not open. He like took her on a Wednesday. No one even knew about it until Monday, right? She said she woke up in an RV. This is Jan talking, who, by the way, after all this shit happens, very held together woman, very pretty. She wakes up in an RV. Basically, there's like a baby monitor next to her kind of looking thing. And it sounded like a robot or an alien or something. Listen to this. Homeboy convinces her she's an alien and she needs to have a baby to save the world. Also, she's 12 years old. Fucking. You think that part doesn't matter. Whatever. 12 years old, though. Aliens? Come on. But, so she gets out of the bed and she sees B obviously tied himself up. She's like, oh my God, we're in this together. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I won't let anything happen to you. So he takes her to Mexico now. And I think gets married to her because she's the legal age is like 12 or 13 or something in Mexico. And he calls their fucking parents and asks for their blessing to marry Jan, or else he's never bringing her back. And the dad's like, oh, no, whatever, we'll call the cops. They can't do shit. Like, no, you're not getting our blessing. We'll just call the cops. But they're like, what the fuck are those? They're like Latter-day Saints or whatever that is. And this dude is such a con artist. Which, this is also, ironically, the greatest moment in this documentary. Which would be the only reason that I would actually tell you guys to watch this is for this scene. The dad that was best friends with the other dad. What the fuck? The dad that was really cool with the guy. He's all out of shape and he's sad and shit. Talking right into the camera about this. And the reason that they can't do anything about this guy. The reason they don't want to call the cops, I'd say, is because they're like the Latter-day Saints and they're very strict. And that's when the dad looks into the camera and he says, that's when I did the worst thing I have ever done in my life. He said he infiltrated our family, and one day he picked me up from work and we're driving around talking about how bad his marriage was and he wasn't happy. He needed some release, you know, some sexual release. And he said, that's when I reached over and gave B release. His dad jacked off this pedophile, right? At least that's all he's saying. Because let's remember, this is in the 70s, okay? Hand jobs in the 70s were basically holding hands. And this guy looks directly into the camera and says he jerked this man off, this pedophile off. And that's why they couldn't call the cops, because it would come out that this dad was gay and his religion was so strict. So he couldn't do shit, right? But I don't think, if I was betting, I would bet that that dad had that guy's dick all up in his mouth. So, basically, because of the church and their beliefs, he doesn't want the news getting out, right? So, he picks his pride and religion over the safety of his fucking daughter. Hey, bad parent, don't deserve to have kids. And then, B brings this girl back, right? And they don't press charges because, again, they don't want the news getting out that the dad jerked B off. Oh, and by the way, he was also fucking the mom. And just to get to, basically, he was fucking this entire family. He fucked the mom, he fucked the dad, and I mean, he did fuck that daughter. And it's real gross. She talks about it, and it made me a little bit uncomfortable. I don't want to talk about that. That was gross. But so he gets back to Mexico, goes to prison for like 4 days or something. And he gets back and he's like, yeah, you know, I saw a therapist. They said I had a sickness. This therapist also said part of my treatment, I need to hang around young girls, especially your daughter, Jan. Not only does he need to be close, by the way, guys, he has to spend the night in Jan's room, part of his therapy. So, get this. 4 days out of the week, I think they said 6 months this went on. 4 days a week for 6 months. These fucking idiot parents. This guy's basically like, yeah, I know I wanted to just marry your daughter in Mexico, and I might have touched her, but I'm better now, and part of my therapy to stay better is I need to sleep with your daughter as much as possible. And these parents are like, oh, okay, come right in. But again, the best part of this whole thing is when the dad looks at the camera and says he gave him release. It's funnier than any joke I've ever heard. And this dude had like 3 outstanding cases, like kidnapping, rape, everything. He went to jail for 1 year. Spoiler alert, he committed suicide, thank God, right? Because he kidnapped her twice, okay? The first time he kidnapped her and went to Mexico. The second time, she ran away. He enrolled her into an all-girls school and, like, kept an eye on her, basically. And that one was for, like, almost a half year, but nothing really happened that time. He just, like, made these weird phone calls to the parents, like, hey, yeah, I just wanted to let you know. I talked to Jan. She's great. And then, like, Jan finally calls the parents after, like, 150 days of being gone. And she's like, hey, guys, just want to say hey. And the parents and everybody are like, oh, my God, hey, Jan, how are you? It's so weird. So weird. It's a terrible movie. But that moment where the guy says that he gave him release, one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But again, thank God this dude committed suicide, right? I do also, like I said before, I think that the parents should have been in jail too. But that's, I don't know, man. How about Tekashi 6ix9ine, man? Is that dude a piece of shit or is he a piece of shit? I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but a little bit. Whatever. Alright, guys. That one's gonna be it. We're gonna end this one here. What song you guys want to hear on the way out? Should we keep it 2000s hip-hop? Yeah? Okay. We will. Until next time. New York City. Peace.